May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the features of my time here in Saffron Walden have been long bike rides. I've ridden from Land's End to John O'Groats, and this year from Mizenhead to Malinhead in Ireland, known as Mizmal for short. On that journey, we went through Sligo, the home place of W.B. Yeats, one of the finest poets in the English language. And standing here today, at the end of the liturgical year, Christ the King, with Advent coming up soon, and gazing around the world, one of his poems came to mind, the poem The Second Coming. It paints a pretty bleak vision of the world, and I want to read part of it to you this morning. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. W.B. Yeats is surveying the wreckage, the aftermath of the First World War. He's writing in 1921. Yet his analysis to me seems strangely apposite for today. Like them, we seem to be experiencing the death throes of an old world, thrashing about like a dying beast. Dark, disorientating forces stirred up by narcissistic delusions and lies grounded in selfishness and greed and callous disregard of the vulnerable and the weak have been unleashed on our world, and we're wailing about in a tide of populism, tribalism and nationalism. We find ourselves reeling drunkenly, unable to sober up and see the sense of working together for a better world, for the sake of future generations, and for the common good. Edmund Burke's famous words still are salutary for us. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. When bad people combine, the good must associate, else they will fall one by one in an unpitied sacrifice in a contemptible struggle. Yet, Christ is King, and the mystery of faith is still true. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again, and Christ's followers are here. Alleluia! Christ has died. Let's start with that. Let's look at our Lucan reading. Christ crucified. We have a vivid depiction of that for us before us in church. Christ's body racked in pain, stretched out on a cross. Evil appears to have triumphed. Caiaphas, the head of the religious authorities, and Pilate, the head of the political authorities, have connived and collaborated to have him crucified. They parody his claim to be the Messiah by putting King of the Jews at the top of the cross. He's scoffed by the leaders, mocked by the soldiers, derided by the other criminal alongside him on the cross. Yet one criminal, in faith, says, "Remember me." And Jesus responds by saying, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." In his brutal crucifixion, evil appears to have triumphed. Yet, at the center of the scene is Christ himself. He retains his integrity even in extremis. He remains strong. He remains faithful. He exemplifies goodness and says to those who are crucifying him, says to his Father about them, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Evil has done its worst, but good triumphs. Love wins. Grace still abounds. And that amazing grace is for you and for me. When we realize, when we see that Christ has died for us, for me, that makes all the difference. I came to that realization in December 1981, and it transformed my life. Being grasped by love, amazing and so divine, demands a response, a wholehearted giving of our lives. Christ has died. Christ is risen. One of the joys of being here is the early morning service on Easter Day. Who's been to that at 6 o'clock in the morning? I know if you've been there, so you can't cheat here. And one of the wonders of Easter Day is that Easter greeting. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Graham Kendrick wrote a wonderful song about the servant king. And here's a brilliant theological line for you from that wonderful hymn. Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. The risen Christ raises his hands to us and shows us his wounds and says, "Peace be with you. Behold, I make all things new. My God is your God, and my Father has become your Father." Christ is risen. And we're baptized into his death and resurrection. We die and we rise. And our reading from Colossians unfolds the wonder and glory of that risen life. It's rich, that reading from Colossians. We're reconciled to God. We're made strong in faith. We're rescued from the powers of darkness, enabled to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We share Christ's risen life. In our risen life together, we experience weeping, and we weep with those who weep. We experience joy, and we rejoice with those who are experiencing joy. We die, and we rise. That's our pattern every day. Every week, it's indelibly printed on our lives as Christians, that dying and rising. Whatever life brings, joys or sorrows, Christ is King, and the mystery of faith is true. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again, and Christ's followers are here. Christ will come again. And when he comes to reign. But Christ is already at the heart of creation. As we read in Colossians, all things have been created through him and for him, and all things hold together in him. Christ is the center of the universe, the center of the created order. Things might look as though they are falling apart. Our lives might look as though they are falling apart. But all things, all lives, our life together, and the whole creation cohere in him. They hold together in him, are safe and secure in him. Early on in my time, even before I became rector, in fact, I was coming back from a dinner party. I had a wonderful view of this church from a distance, illuminated against the night sky. I went, wow. I was blown away by the view of it. This church is a focal point wherever you are around the town. You can see it. It's the center of the view often. And what happens here Sunday by Sunday is central to our lives. It's not peripheral. It's not a leisure pursuit or a hobby. Something added on, it's central to our lives because Christ is the center. the heart of creation, who draws us into the life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the eternal God, his kingdom is coming. The kingdom of justice and peace, embracing all nations, is coming. The creation and the created order will recognize that truth at the end, and every knee will bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For Christ is King, and the mystery of faith is true. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again, and Christ's followers are here. Hallelujah. Amen.